What's up, guys? You are watching Truth with Tara, and today I have Fuzia. I'm so excited to meet you, Fuzia. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
It's been a long time coming, I feel.
I feel like it has too. We've been working on this for a while in between your schedule and mine. Today is the day, and I'm very, very excited to get to know you more. I have so many burning questions that a lot of our fans have kind of written in and wanted me to ask, and some that I also have as well. So let's get right to it, shall we?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so first of all, congrats on your latest single, La La La. I love it.
Thank
yes.
you.
And on that vein, you've got a really fantastic variety of music. I've been following you since, you know, the beginning when you released your first song up to now, La La La, which is the most recent. And yes. How do you define what makes a Fuzia song?
I think from the start of my career and just from the start of my musical journey, even as a kid, I've always loved exploring different genres of music, mm-hmm. and I've always been fascinated by the pop realm. So anything that lives within that world is something that I would listen to and that I would love to write. And so I think the way that I started my career was very, I would say, like organic, in the way that it was just me and the piano. And I feel like I've been building from that, and you can kind of see that journey happen. And that transition happened from my first song, which was Bad Dreams, which was just myself and the piano. And then I had other songs that were a little more produced, and I still had the stripped versions of them. And so then I moved into this pop world, and I feel like I've been exploring everything that I love and also staying true to myself and my roots, which is the more like emotional ballad world that I started with.
Speaking of your roots, you are originally from Morocco.
Yes.
And you moved to Canada at a young age, right?
Yes. I was I was just a baby. I was one.
Oh,
when we
okay.
immigrated, yeah, to Canada. And we first stayed in Montreal for like a little while, like a couple months. And then we stayed in Winnipeg for a year. And then we then moved to a tiny, tiny town outside of Winnipeg with a population of like 2000 at the time.
Oh my gosh.
And I went to school in a town of a population of about like 800 or 600. Like, it was so tiny. And so I grew up in a very rural area.
Yeah.
And I always feel like I've just been isolated in my little world. And that world is like my house. And my parents would literally always play Arabic music. And
okay.
And we would eat like Moroccan food, and I would speak Arabic at home and French. And so I felt like I was still in my little Morocco.
Yeah, in your house.
Yeah, in this rural area.
That was my next question, were you kind of fed Moroccan food and Moroccan music growing up? Because I so evidently hear that in every song you sing, even the popified songs, which, by the way, I love, and we'll get into that a little later.
Thank you. Yes, I always every time I would enter my house, like after school, it was just like I said, like a mini Morocco. And that's why I feel like I stayed so connected to my roots.
Yeah.
And I am so glad that I still speak the language, and that I have very like Moroccan mannerisms as well. And I just feel like it's so ingrained in me. And even when I have gone back to Morocco, everyone's like, oh my gosh, like, it's like you guys never left.
Wow.
So yeah.
That's fascinating.
Thank you. I'm so glad I got to experience like Canadian culture as well as Moroccan culture. And I feel like it created a pretty fun mix in my music.
It's actually a pretty needed mix. And I'm going to tell you why. So for me as a vocal coach, when I listen to singers, and even when I sing myself, I always try to listen to the roots of that singer. And I want to hear what makes them. And that's why I asked you, what makes a Fuzia song? Because for me, listening to you, I do hear the influence of mainstream pop, of course. But when you riff and when you run, the notes that you choose are strategically chosen, even if unintentionally, like subconsciously strategically chosen, to err on that Moroccan Arabic side. And it makes, to me, it makes for the most enjoyable to listen to, fun, surprising, unexpected riffs and runs within the context of mainstream pop. And I think that's really important because a lot of pop music nowadays is so straightforward in the center. There's really not much musicality. There's not much that you don't expect to hear in the song. But you add that unexpected in the context of a genre that you hear a lot of expected in. And I think that's actually very needed in pop right now.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That means a lot to me. I mean, like you said, it's a lot of it comes subconsciously. And sometimes when I write songs like R.I.P. Love or La La La, it is more intentional with the melodies that I choose and the riffs that I am doing.
Okay. That was another question. Like, do you vocal map that out? Are you hand kind of designing that? Or as you write, is it sort of like, well, whatever comes out is what it is?
It depends. I mean, for R.I.P. Love, I specifically walked in the session and I wanted to make something that was an Arabic pop song. And that was the first time that I had set that intention walking into a session, and we wrote R.I.P. Love. But for La La La, for example, that one came very naturally, and that wasn't my intention in the session, but the melodies were in that space, and it was still very pop, but because it was something that came very naturally to me, there's still that like Moroccan flair in it for sure.
Do you find that it's easier to add that Moroccan flair on major or minor chords, one over the other?
Oh, definitely over minor.
Yeah.
And then, like, there's also the chords that are, like, which go from, like, minor to major. There are definitely scales that make it a lot easier, for sure.
Yes, for sure. My next question is, you listened to Moroccan music growing up a lot, and obviously that's part of your roots. Can you give me some straightforward Moroccan artists that like come to your mind that are your Moroccan idol, so to speak, growing up? And are there any like crossover Moroccan artists that you also were influenced by as a young child?
There weren't very like specific Moroccan ones that I can remember, but there were a lot of like Arab artists like Feirouz and Umm Kulthum, which are known as like very amazing vocalists. Okay. And I would listen to their music, and I didn't even know that I was listening to their music because I was really just listening to what my parents were listening to.
Sure.
And they would do these like insane runs. And I remember just being like a little kid sitting like next to the TV and being like, how do you do that? And then I would just like try to imitate it. And that's how I learned, just by hearing what they were doing with their vocals and practicing over and over again until now it comes very naturally. But it was something that I feel like I was making a part of my muscle memory at a very young age.
Wow. And I love that you mentioned muscle memory, because the voice is a muscle. And you can work it out and you can teach it things. A lot of people think, oh, well, she was just born singing. I'm not born singing. I can't carry a tune in the bucket. I don't have any hope for myself. And my response and retort and argument to those people is always, your voice is a muscle. If you can train a bicep, you can train your larynx.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not that people aren't given different levels of innate talent, but you can absolutely grow your voice. So how old were you when you were like sitting by the radio or in your parents' car trying to imitate those vocals?
I was like 4 or 5. Like, yeah. I was very, very young. And I remember just being like with my like super nasally kid voice and being like, and I would just literally repeat the same run over and over again. It wasn't that smooth. It was very rough at the time. But like, a voice is a muscle. And everything that I've learned to really do with my voice has been, like, because I trained myself to do it. Everything so cool. was, like, a learning process. I think the only thing that might come naturally maybe is tone. But
wow.
Now you can work on that, I think.
Did you have vibrato starting out the gate, or did you have to kind of imitate and train that too?
I always naturally had vibrato.
Okay.
And I actually, which is like a really weird thing because I know sometimes it's like the opposite, but I had to work on dialing it back.
Like, yes.
I know a lot of people work on adding it. I had to work on dialing it back because I feel like at times it was overpowering and like doing, like I thought it was a little too much. Mm-hmm. So I had to work on using it when I wanted it and not all the time.
Yeah, because if you have it naturally, then it's involuntary, which means you can't really control it unless you gain that control by repetition. And when did your parents notice, like, hey, our kid's kind of really good at imitating these singers?
Well, my mom always has this funny story. She says, like, ever since I was a baby, she says that my cry was like I was singing. And every, like, all of her, like, aunts and her cousins would be like, why does your baby's cry sound like a melody, like a song? And she was just like, I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
When I got older, I would sing and my parents would always like be super encouraging and listen to me sing. And I think when I was eight, I wrote a song and my mom thought I got it from like Google. No. And there wasn't AI at the time. So she's like, whose song did you like take off the internet?
Yeah.
I was like, I wrote this myself. And I was like, so offended. I was like, and then she went and she was like asking people, she's like, did she write this? Or is this like a song? And like, finally she realized that I did write it. And I started performing at a very, very young age. I was like seven or eight. And like adults would come up to me and I was like a little kid and they would be crying. And I was like, why are you crying? They're like, your voice is so beautiful.
So moving.
And I was just like a little kid. I was like, why? Why are you crying?
It's fine. I just sang. It's like, go eat some lunch.
Yeah, that's exactly how I would react. And I loved doing it. So it was just like the perfect combination of I loved singing and other people were very encouraging, like my family and stuff. And so it's just a great recipe.
Do you remember the place? You said seven or eight was your first like stage performance. Yeah. Do you remember the name of the place and like how many people were there and what you sang?
The first place that I performed was just like, it was near the train station, or it was the train station, but they would hold these private performances for people that were learning how to play the guitar or learning how to play an instrument. And it was kind of like an end of year recital. And I played a song I wrote called, When I'm Hurt, and that literally I had to pull that out of my subconscious because I haven't thought of that in a very long time. And I wrote another song called Je Pleure, which means I cry. Clearly I was very like sad as like writing.
You were like an emo 7-year-old.
I don't know why, and I was like a very happy kid, so everyone would come up to me and be like, are you okay? Like, is everything okay? And I was like, yeah, everything's fine. I just loved sad songs and like emotional music. And that carried forward to my adulthood as well.
That's hilarious. And so the first time you performed was at a train station of songs that you wrote.
Yes.
Power sad ballads.
Yes. And funny enough, I actually played on my guitar, which was probably the first and last time I performed with a guitar.
Why the last?
I don't know. I gravitate towards the piano so much more.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see myself as like a guitar artist. I feel like if I pulled up on stage with a guitar, especially with these nails, everyone would be like, this wouldn't even work.
The nails gotta go, yeah.
They would have to go. And I don't think I can sacrifice them right now.
Same.
I've just been playing the piano mostly ever since.
Well, your voice does really lend itself beautifully to the piano. But I mean, listen, you're the artist to me that's full of surprises. And so I do challenge you one day to clop these suckers off and give us a little bit of a stripped down performance. And actually, speaking of stripped down, one thing I also love about you is that you do the full up version of your songs, but you also do the stripped down version. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna kind of take a little liberty here. A lot of people have asked me, why does she do that? And what I have surmised is this, and you tell me if I'm wrong. A lot of artists don't do stripped down versions because they don't want their voice to be naked. They feel like they need to have the production to kind of hide the imperfection of their voice. But you are a singer's singer, and you don't mind being naked with your voice because you're confident in its abilities. So the stripped down versions to you are more like when you first wrote it. And so it feels even more like home. Am I right or am I wrong?
You're very right. Especially like at the start of my career, a lot of the songs I would like, they would start very stripped down and then we would like build up the production. And so that's why it almost felt like just going back to its natural state when I would do these stripped versions. And with the music coming up, I have this idea for my debut album, and I already have the name for everything in my head. And I basically want to do a somewhat similar concept where I'll have my album, but then later on have something special for people that do like the more stripped versions of songs, but with a little bit more like drama. So I'm always thinking of how I can do that and how I can visit both of those worlds, which is like the pop world with like the production and like the drama, the fun, but then also have something more emotional for listeners that prefer that. And I also love that too.
I'm one of those. I'm totally guilty as charged on that. And it's just because there's just so much more room to hear the specialness of your voice. And there are so many intricacies to your voice that make it special. To me, whenever you, like when you did that stripped concert, you know, during COVID, that was, I think to this date, I think that was like my favorite performance of yours.
Thank you.
And I actually have a question about that, like about the way that you filmed it. Did you really like go back to back, song to song? Did you take breaks? How was that for you? How did you prepare for that?
So I was planning on doing a show around that time, and it got canceled because of COVID. And I wanted to do something special. And it was so, like, it was one of my favorite performances as well, because it was just an empty, beautiful theater. And that's one of my favorite venues in Winnipeg. And I felt like it was so intimate. And I was almost imagining, like, all the seats were full. Mm-hmm. And it still the performance in that sense.
Yes.
And it's almost like I could see everyone like online that I was like talking with on like Twitter or whatever, Instagram, being in the audience. So it felt like a very special show. And it was like back to back. So we did the songs like two or three times, I believe. And we basically just took the best version of the performance. So like I did Tears of Gold like two times, and then we took the best performance of Tears of Gold and put it in the show. And afterwards I talked a little bit about the songs, and we edited that between each song.
So all of the versions that you took, they were straight through performances?
Yes.
That's amazing. And basically then, if you did it two times and you did that show twice right then and there, no big deal, I can hit all those notes, not once but twice in a row.
Thank you.
I mean, does your voice ever get tired? Are there parts of your voice where you're like, yeah, I hate that vowel on this specific register of my voice? Or is it just all amazing?
Oh, thank you. No, I definitely have pockets that stress me out more than others. When I'm doing like a full belt on like a D, I don't even know if it's a D4 or 5.
Yeah.
I don't know the terms. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's for you, it's probably a 5.
D5. I'm always like, either this is going to come out super clearly, or my voice is going to crack, or whatever it is. Because I'm very prone to voice cracks, and I'm always afraid that's going to happen. But they only happen when I overthink it. The less I think, the more things come out very clearly and fluidly. So I try not to think. That's like my biggest problem. I'm like, if I psych myself out, and when I get sick, my voice really like diminishes. It's
sure.
Like, yeah, this is about what you can do with it, which sucks. And I used to never really get tired vocally, except on this last tour, like my North American tour. I did 7 shows in 8 days.
Yeah. I mean,
I literally was like, now I know that I am never going to do that again. Like, that was not the move at all. And
that's intense.
I'm singing from like A to Z. Like, I'm doing every note, everything. And so I'm like, if I'm going to do this, I can't tire my voice out like that. Like, I need to be very strategic with show dates.
Yes.
So now for the next tour, I know.
Well, you do live and you do learn. For someone, and you're really not formally trained, right? From what I've known of you?
No, I wasn't vocally trained, and I actually wanted before my tour to do some vocal lessons just to preserve my voice, and that didn't work out. So I was just online trying to learn and absorb as much as I could to preserve my voice. And I think that's something that I would do before my next tour. I would just learn vocal techniques and warm-ups to really just, be safe with my voice, because that's like losing it is like the scariest thing in the world, and so I want to take good care of it. So for the next tour, that is definitely the first thing I'm going to
For
do.
sure. Yeah, it's 100% wise. And for someone that has not trained, right? I mean, the stamina that you do have and the it's innately in you, the technique that you've developed is excellent. It really is. When you're gigging though and doing that many shows, sometimes it comes down to the way you're singing 1 to 3 wrong notes a show. And it's like that little part of the back of your foot in a new shoe that rubs just a little bit each time, each day, until all of a sudden it's so raw that a blister forms, right? And so it doesn't take much. And when you're to the level that you are singing the notes you're singing and the repetitions that you're singing them in, sometimes it literally is that D, the way that you're singing that D that could make or break the difference between you being fatigued or heavy the next day or not. And I wonder, getting back to that D5 for you, is it on specific vowels? Like, is it on a more closed mouth vowel for you, or is it on a wide open, or does it not matter?
I think it sounds better when it's like a more open, like vowel for sure. Like there's a, I think it's a C sharp five again. I don't know if I'm
Yeah,
getting
it's
the
a
numbers
five.
right. Yeah, C sharp five. And I think it's in How It All Works Out, where I go, "Sweet," and that one, like again, I can't think about it because it's E, which is a lot. Like a C sharp, but which is like a ah or like
Yeah.
oh, so much easier
Oh,
than
yeah.
a like I have to physically be like, don't think, just sing the song and don't think about it, because otherwise my voice will crack or I won't hit it properly. Like I'm always psyching myself out. It's so bad. And also every time I perform live, I'm like, why? Why did I make this song? This way. I'm like, why did I do this song? I have bullied myself into learning new like notes and techniques, because like I'll do it in the studio and I'm like, oh, that was fun. And then after that, like, touring comes along and I'm like, well, now you have to do that like 40 times.
Right, in the same
Like,
key. Yeah,
yes,
live.
live. And I'm like, okay, well, I have to do it now. So get on that and figure it out. So that's what I do. And
Oh
in
my
rehearsal,
gosh.
it's, yeah, I always beat myself up after. I'm like, why? Why did I make this so
That's so,
complicated?
I've written so many songs like that where I do the same thing. And now I've, listen, I'm a little older than you, and I've now, when I sit down to write, I'm like, Tara, don't do that to yourself. Just change the lyric to make it an open mouth vowel at least. You know what I mean? And I tell my singers to do the same. I'm like, hey, write smart. Set yourself up for future shows where you're not doing the same thing that you just said. That's so funny. Because listen, I mean, not that I'm sure you use much, but every singer to get to radio ready quality nowadays, they tune, they comp, they do all of the things, right? And so there's a safety net in that too. It's like, well, I can eke the note out and it's going to sound like I just soared it out, you know? But when live shows come, when artists can't hit the note, what they do is they lip sync that part, they use the sweetener track, and then they come back in again. And I hate that, because even though it fools the mass populace, like it's still like kind of it just kind of like makes me sad. Like the days of like Jackson 5 or like singing straight through are kind of really gone. They've been gone for a while, but at least come on, can we please keep the live shows live, you
Sure,
know? So I love that you do, and that you're like beating yourself up over writing such hard songs.
yeah, and actually though, it's weird because something like after this tour, things that used to scare me, like I don't know if it's, is it a G5 or a D, like a G,
It would
like in my,
be, yeah, it would be a G5 for you too.
yeah, so in, like in minefields, that note that would scare me now, it doesn't scare me. But like I would literally like 2 years ago be like, I would never be able to do that. And that was another thing where when I wrote that song and I was recording it, the producer, I was just like riffing at the end because we were just adding the final ad libs and stuff.
Sure.
And I didn't quite go up there. And he was like, no, you have to go like up there. And I was like, I can't do that. And he was like, no, you absolutely can. And he was just like, we were going back and forth. And I spent all night trying to like learn how to sing that note. And it would scare me. I was like, how am I going to do this? Like, but now after doing it so many times, it's like muscle memory. I'm like comfortable with it. So I'm like, what's next? Like, what's the next challenge?
Yeah, let's go, right? Because you're stretching, you're growing that muscle, and it can, it will do what you ask of it. Now, there are so many notes on the keys, and let's be honest, most people don't hit them all. So there is a point, right? But I don't think that you've even reached the top of your capabilities, Fozia. I don't. How long when you write a song does it usually take you from start to finish?
It really depends.
Okay, how about how it all works out? How long do you think that took you to write?
That one was about like 20 minutes.
Do you find that it's always the shortest amount of time that equal the best songs?
I honestly think like if the creativity doesn't strike in the first like 20 minutes, then that idea doesn't really work out for me.
I totally agree with you.
It always feels like it's like lacking something because I need to have like a verse pre-hook in the first like 20, or at least like the melodies or the concept or something, like the main vibe. Otherwise,
it's forced. You're forcing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and speaking of all of your capabilities, let's shift gears here for a second, because you're not just actually like an uber talented musician, singer, songwriter. You actually are super smart. You're like kind of a nerd, right? And you're going to school for engineering. Is that true?
Yeah. So I actually took three years of engineering, and I took a couple years off. No, I took a year and a half off to tour.
Sing.
And
yeah.
Like everything that I have to do. And I am just now figuring out a way. I'm like signing up for distance classes so I can do things while I'm on the go, because even though it's been like a crazy year and a half, I miss like just like writing an essay or like doing something like that. So I know I was like, what, who is talking? Like, why am I saying this right now? Yeah, I'm like, please let me into these distance classes. I'm like trying to like figure it out. I know, I don't know why I'm doing this to myself, but.
you were kind of raised to be a high performing person, yeah?
I would say so. I think that would explain a lot.
Yeah, it sounds like it anyway. It sounds like you're not content unless you're actually like really performing highly on a high level. And I think that's also evident in your songs too. But if you had to choose, you know, like engineering or singing, what would you choose?
I would definitely, because like I love school, but I can't see myself in a world without music.
Yeah.
Like that's just it. Genuinely, people are like, you're not like what you do. Like, you're not your job. I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, this is, I was born with like music notes floating through like my bloodstream. Like, it's not. Like, it's really a part of me. And that's why I would definitely say music. And even if I wasn't singing, like, I could see myself being a songwriter or just, like, playing, like, I don't even know. Like, I would find my way back to it, or poetry or just writing. Like, I have to be singing and writing.
And doing that. I love that. And you not only play piano. I mean, we touched on you play guitar, but you also play violin, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, when are we gonna see that?
Okay, again, the nails. From doing a lot of things.
Big sacrifice for this beauty, you know.
I'm saying, because like I have really like little hands.
So do I.
Mm-hmm. So I have to, I'm trying to like elongate them as much as possible.
Right.
So that the nails are there. But as I was saying, yeah, I do love playing the violin, and I took lessons for 4 years, and that one was a little funny because I didn't take it like regular piano lessons where I had my books, I had my exams, whatever.
Yeah.
I just learned how to play by ear. So that was instrument I did that with. And my teacher, it was like a really interesting setup. So my teacher would play the pieces and I would follow, like I would hear and I would follow along. And I would actually do that a lot with my piano teacher as well, which I don't really talk about much. But I remember she would like put a piece in front of me and I would be like, can you play that once or twice? And I would wait for her to play it and I would memorize some of the play, like the parts, and I would play it by ear. Because I can play by ear really well, but I suck at reading.
Of course, like, you do. You're the same as me. 100%. No, just play it twice, please, because I don't want to look at all those notes. It's so much easier to just,
And I was like a kid, literally, when I would see these books, and it was like three levels behind what I was at, I would literally be like, okay, C, D, E, F, G, okay, G, A. And I would be so slow when I would do it that way.
Yeah.
But if you play it for me, I'll literally just be like, okay, got it. It's so weird.
And there's the argument that is valid. Listen, classical teachers watching this, I hear you, okay? Like, if you can sight read, you legit can sit down, look up, and you can play anything, right? Versus ear players like us, where if we audiate something, we're audiating what we have heard. So we have to hear it. We have to have context. I mean, it amazes me, honestly, to see people who can play something they have never once heard and it sounds like a record because they know the time signature, they know all the markings, they know the notes.
That's crazy,
but when you have such a good ear, your eyes, I'm convinced everybody that I talk to that's like you and I are the same way. They're not as good of readers as they are audiators, because it's like that's what's attuned the most. And so the eyes just are like, the eyes know that the ears can do it. So they're just like, meh, you know.
I didn't even think of it that way, but your eyes are, you do it.
Yeah.
You do it better. Why am I doing this?
Literally. And I've taught students like that. And I imagine being on the other side of the piano, trying to teach a student how to sight read who you know is an ear player. And you're like, listen, kid, or who, I know you, I am you, but you've got to learn how to read too. They're like, but just play it once. I'm like, no, I know the game. I made the game. Yeah. I'm not going to do it, you know?
Yeah. And it really showed, because I would do classical piano exams and I would do theory and practical. And when I would do my practical exams, like playing by ear, like 10 out of 10, everything 10 out of 10, sight reading, it's like 4 out of 10. It was always so bad. And I was like, you can tell where this is going wrong.
Yeah. And just, I owned it. I was just like, hey, I am sorry, but I'm just not going to. Your why, like your deeper why be behind. Well, I was born singing when I cried, right? What if there was a message that you could have your music that outlasts you say to humanity, or even to just young people listening to your music, what would you want that message to be?
I think the main message that I would want people to take from my journey and from the journey that in my music is that you can stay true to who you are and your morals and what you want to do in your life, and not like conform to what other people think that you should be, and still feel as though you are, you know, successful and reaching new heights in a, like in a pathway that might not have been, you know, like accessed before. And I feel like especially people in this industry, they come in and they're like, okay, I have to be this certain way. I have to dress this certain way. I have to sing about this. I have to sing about that so that I can see success. And although it is, you know, slower and more gradual when you do things in a way that are true to yourself, you will never look back and regret anything you've done. And you're always going to say, you know what, I did this on my own terms. And that's what I want, you know, the younger people that, you know, are listening to my music and might take something from my journey. I hope that's what they take. And I hope they take just like songs that were true to me and true to my life and that depict like heartbreak, heartache, just difficulties in life. And some of the songs are just very fun and sassy. And I think they show different sides of my personality. And I think last of all, I always just want to push my voice to new heights And I want to really integrate like the Arabic world in the pop world. And I hope that I can leave my mark in that place.
Well, I think you already have, first of all. Second of all, that's why I wanted you on this podcast, was because I somehow knew that that was your why. And even that is evident in your, to me, and this is just my perspective on music today, is that people are so desperate to be famous and to be heard, because at the end of the day, humanity is ingrained to want to matter. Every person wants to matter. And a lot of people are just so willing to do pretty much anything in order to feel like they matter and in order for their voice to be heard. And I do believe that there are artists like you. There's not many, but there are a few that are rising up and saying, yeah, but I'm just going to sing anyway on my terms. And whoever wants to listen, whoever is hungry for something like real and authentic and not contrived to go viral or to be trendy, like here I am and have a listen if you'd like. And there is a market for that. And there are so many people that are hungry for that. From someone who listens to music for a living all day long and who trains voices for a living all day long, I am so grateful to artists like you who are kind of like that beacon of vocal light shining out in the darkness of the music industry, saying, hey, you can be authentic. You can be morally sound. You don't have to sell sex. You don't have to water your artistry down. You can make musically complicated songs that are worth theoretically even listening to, not just for the song, and learn something and enjoy it. So thank you, first of all, for that. Like, really, thank you.
Thank you for listening. And without someone like you listening, like, there wouldn't be anyone understanding. So I really appreciate you, and thank you. Yeah.
All right. Lightning question round. You ready? You have 5 seconds or less to answer these questions, Fozia.
Okay.
Are you ready? Okay.
No, but let's go.
Okay. Okay, quick. The genre that you're most afraid to sing?
Rap.
The person you'd most want to duet with, dead or alive?
Beyonce.
Okay. What's the highest note you've ever hit?
I don't know, like a whistle. I don't know the term.
Do it now. Sorry. Quick, go.
Yeah, I'm sick. Oh, my register is not working right now.
It's actually out of service. Legit, sometimes when I'm sick, I practice different registers I can't hit, because especially the low extension or the high, sometimes when you're sick, you can access notes that you can't usually. So that might be something fun for you to try. Not here, but like, you know.
I will try it after this call, actually. Yes. Try.
Okay, we're resuming. Would you rather be in a recording studio or performing live?
Recording studio.
Interesting. Okay. Earphones or headphones?
Earphones.
What additional music skill would you most like to have on a pro level? Audio engineering, dancing, or playing another instrument?
Dancing.
Okay. Do you dance?
I think if I train myself, I could. I've done like some choreography here and there, and I can pick up really easily, but that's like something I actually want to learn. I want to learn how to like dance like professionally, but.
Okay. I'm here for that, by the way. That would be great with your style of music. All right. Quick, what live performance has inspired you the most?
So Ariana Grande had a performance at, I think it was, I don't even remember. It was like Summertime Ball. I don't remember the name of it. That performance really did. And Rihanna's performance of like Diamonds at the Victoria's Secret fashion show.
Oh, interesting. Okay. A song that you're embarrassed you like.
No, I can't think.
Favorite childhood TV show?
Max and Ruby.
Okay. Favorite season of the year?
Fall.
Okay. What's your favorite ice cream flavor?
Vanilla.
What?
You didn't think I would like vanilla?
No, you're Moroccan. I would think like some sort of pistachio, elaborate, exotic.
You're like on argan oil.
Yeah, like argan. Exactly.
No, I don't really like ice cream that much though. So.
Okay, that's why you're a plain Jane vanilla girl. I just did not see Argan oil ice cream. That's hilarious. It might be the Moroccan oil. Yeah, Moroccan ice cream. Okay, giving presents or getting presents?
Giving.
Yeah, same. Do you currently own any stuffed animals, and are they on your bed?
They're not on my bed, but I do own some, and they're in the corner of my room.
What are they?
So I have this giant Kirby that I got on tour because we were in New York. I got this giant Kirby, and then I have little teddy bears that my sisters have gotten me, my mom, my friends, and then I have little tiny stuffed animals that I think looks just so silly, and they just like, so I love just buying them and like hanging them in my room because they're just like so silly.
Hanging them? Like by what?
Like keychains.
Keychains. Okay. Ask permission or beg for forgiveness?
Ask permission for sure.
Really? Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I'm a very honest and open person. Like, I'd rather just like be like, can I do this or I'm going to do this. I'm letting you know. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Good to know. What are you really, really curious about?
The ocean.
Interesting. Why?
I just find it so fascinating. And like, I can sit down and watch like 5 hour long documentaries about the ocean and I don't get sick of it. Also, the human brain.
Okay. I can see that one. The ocean was like an outlier for me. Interesting. What's the most interesting thing in your wallet or purse at the moment?
Probably like a little stuffed animal.
Keychain.
Keychain, yeah. I have a little koala keychain. It's like crocheted. Like, it's like knit or crocheted. It's like this tiny, cute koala.
Okay. I'm a koala fan. All right. I like it.
It's actually right here.
Oh, fantastic. Show us the koala. Oh, that is cute. You're dropped in a city. Besides your phone, what's the one thing you have to have?
Like a drink, like a Starbucks drink in my hand.
Wow. Okay. Priorities. You've got them straight. All right. Is there a word or phrase that you're currently overusing?
Slay.
Slay. Mm. Yeah. All day. Yep.
I'll just be like, slay. And then someone will just be cooking like eggs. I'm like, slay.
Okay. Got it. All right. Last one. Are you a morning person or a night owl?
I'm like neither now. I used to be, I guess more morning.
Okay. What time do you wake up?
Okay, well, I'm not like that morning, but I'd say like 8:30.
That is not morning. That's like, to kids me, are in school by then.
To me, I will say I used to stay up to like 4 or 5 in the morning.
Oh my gosh.
So to me, 8:30 is like 4 a.m. The fact that I like 8:30 now.
You're right. So. It's all about perspective. And that's crazy. Why would you stay up so late?
Because I would just write all night. But now I realize it was like not good for like my health. So I stopped doing that.
Wow, that's super late. Oh, and I wanted to ask you this too. How many songs do you think you've written?
Oh,
hundreds.
I'd say in my life?
Yeah.
Over 500.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's so good. Yeah.
Too many.
Song Factory. I love it. I love it. Well, Fozia, if anybody is still living under a rock and doesn't know where to find you, shout your stuff out. And guys, if you have not, stream her single, buy it, share it. La 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 is out. It is so good. I mean, I was singing along to the chorus after listening to the first chorus one time. You know it's a good song when you can do that.
Thank you. Yeah, you can find me everywhere at Fozia, and that is Fauzia. And you can find me on TikTok, Fozia Official. And yeah, find me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, everywhere.
And support her because this is, you're looking at and listening to someone who is a true artist, guys. And you know that on this channel anyway, I really love, support, and respect and admire those who are true artists who do so much more than just sing and sing well. And you really do so much more than that, including engineering. So, you know, there's that. Thank you so much for being on today, Fauzia. You are beautiful. You're wonderful. I bless you. I hope that your ladder is greater than your past in this industry. And you keep on going, girlfriend. You have just scratched the surface of what you're capable of doing.
Thank you so much. And thank you for having me. This was so much fun.
It was a blast. You did an awesome job.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.